We really don't know yet. I think in the next few days and weeks, we will learn whether this was one long continuous track tornado, which seems to be somewhat plausible, or if it was a family of tornadoes produced by the same storm, where the tornado would lift at certain points during the life cycle and then place another tornado back down as it traversed four states at this point. So time will tell. It really depends on what the National Weather Service and all the experts are out there doing on the ground to make the survey complete. This type of long-tracked event is going to take a while.
Is it unusually difficult to have a sustained tornado for 50 miles or even 5 miles?
Yeah, a far majority of our tornadoes are fairly weak. They may be a few hundred yards wide and last a few minutes, if not seconds. But when we get to tornadoes that are over 60 miles long, we start getting into the realm of long-track tornadoes. Events like the April 27th, 2011 tornadoes that struck the southeast across Alabama and Mississippi, the 1974 super outbreak. These are large-scale tornado outbreaks that produce multiple long-track tornadoes. And of course, if the tornado is on the ground for much longer and tracked across the landscape much farther, it has a greater odds of hitting us or people and causing damage.
What is the link between climate change and tornadoes, especially these storms with a tremendous duration?
Yeah, so this is a really fantastic question, and it's something that researchers have been asking in recent years. I will say right now that climate attribution science, when we try to figure out what role did climate change play in hazard events, at the very bottom of the list in terms of our understanding is severe and convective weather. That would include tornadoes, wind, and hail. But I would say over the last 15 years, we've made great strides. There's been individuals who have taken it upon themselves to create, you know, climate models and analyze climate scenarios to better tease out whether climate change played a role in these events. I would say that our best guess right now is it's uncertain. We're getting more confident as the years go on because we're learning more. And I think that in the next few years, what we're going to see is some of the things that we expect to play out in these climate models are going to be coming true. So it's maybe a bit too early for this event, but I think that we're getting right there to the point where we can start asking that question and having some confidence in saying that it likely did play a subtle role.
Please don't perceive this as me scolding you, Stephen, but why don't we know more about the connection with climate change, since I believe there's been a lot of research on wildfires, drought, other issues where we really can draw a strong line between them?
That's a fair question. And it comes down to a lot of times just these events are different. If you think about our ability for our climate models and even our weather models, for that matter, that we run day after day, you know, every few hours, it's a lot easier to handle cold and heat and dry conditions and precipitation. Even something like a hurricane is much, much larger scale than tornadoes. Even with this recent tornado, you know, it may have tracked hundreds of miles long, but it was only probably a mile or so, maybe slightly larger than that wide. And the resolution of our climate models just isn't quite there. Our computational ability and the ability for our models to really pick up on severe weather is limited, even with technology increasing the way it is. So what we do is in these climate models, we look at the ingredients that make up thunderstorms and particularly severe weather. We look for moisture. We look for something called instability, which is the air rising. And we look for rotation in the atmosphere. If we have those ingredients together, we can be pretty sure that a storm capable of producing tornadoes may be generated. So it's just a matter of our science and our models catching up to our observations. I always tell people, we still don't predict tornadoes on a daily basis. For instance, I couldn't tell you right now whether a storm that's produced will produce a tornado or not. Our models don't even do good on that time scale. So it's a big challenge for us as researchers, but I think we'll get there, and we have a lot of bright minds, and clearly it's incredibly important once you look at the devastation that we've seen in Kentucky.
What change has been seen in tornadoes in recent years? I happen to have grown up in Indiana, although it's been decades since I've lived there. From what I understand, like Tornado Alley, Kansas, some of those states, they don't really get that many twisters anymore.
Well, it might seem that way. And as someone who also grew up in Indiana, I became very tornado savvy at a young age. We always have to be careful with our perceptions of events. If you ask my dad, who still lives in Indiana, which winter was the worst winter in record, he's almost always going to say the last one because he hates the winter and it's cold. But when we think about tornadoes, we have seen some subtle changes. For instance, our tornado outbreaks, where we have these large events where more than one tornado is produced, those are becoming more frequent. There's been some interesting research by Dr. Victor Gensini out of Northern Illinois University, who has illustrated that tornado environments or those events might be shifting towards the Ohio River Valley over time. And this could be a climate change link. But in general, we have to be really aware that if you live east of the Continental Divide, tornadoes can be a part of your life and you have to be prepared for them. Whether you live in New York City or whether you live in Oklahoma City, it really doesn't make a difference. You have to have a plan to take action and be responsible for protecting yourself.
Is there a final thought you have? Yeah. Something I forgot to ask about?
Yeah, I would caution people to not focus so much on the climate change linkage. As someone who's a climatologist, climate scientist, and teaches climate change at the university level, it did play a role in this event, but it could be something very subtle. We also have to forget that the other side of the disaster coin here is our societal elements. We have a growing and expanding society. Cities are getting larger over time. That creates more targets for these tornadoes to hit. So the classic scene of the sepia tornado dancing in the background during The Wizard of Oz is being replaced by a violent tornado in December after dark going through the heart of a subdivision or a small Kentucky or Alabama or whatever your favorite town is in the eastern half of the U.S. So we have to be very careful to understand that there are things that we can do now to improve our safety and improve our lives. We can improve building codes. We can improve education of the public. We can also learn from the public and why they couldn't take shelter. Why did they struggle with this event? There's things that we can do now, climate change aside, to improve our survivability going forward. One of the things that we have to do, though, is find co-beneficial solutions. With or without climate change, what are the things that we can do now to save people going forward? That's what we need to focus on in this event and not be so overwhelmed that there's nothing we can do, because there's plenty that we could do.